Session today will be on phosphorus Jesus treatment for contaminated mine soils and its effect on microbial properties. This research was done in this area, Joplin area of Missouri, and that's along the tri-state border of Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma. And the name of that mining belt was the Orangadueng mining belt. And this has been in operation, was in operation for about 150 years. So it's been long-standing mining operation. Three sites we looked at for this research was a residential site right in the heart of the city of Joplin, and the source of contamination there was a smelter and already a processing operation, mainly from dust particles that floated across when they processed the ore to extract the metal. And the contamination rate there was pretty high, averaging about 2,000 milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil. The second site we looked at is in Webb City, which is just about 4 miles north of Joplin. And there again, contamination rate pretty high, about 2,000 milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil. And the source of contamination here is the waste material from this processing operation. And these are known as tailings. And this contains sands, silt-sized, small gravel-sized particles, along with the chemicals used in the processing operations. The last site we looked at, we referred to the mining waste, and that, as the name would suggest, is where the mining operation actually took place. And the contaminating source there are what we refer to as chats, which are just large, above gravel size particles from the mining operation. And there again, as you can see, the rate of contamination pretty much high, around 2,000 milligrams per kilogram of lead, lead per kilogram of soil. And the problem that with lead, why it's such a big issue, is that the EPA and the Agency for Toxic Substances and the Disease Registry has listed as a main priority hazard. And that's because it presents a health hazard to children especially, and can lead to mental retardation, so other illnesses such as cancer, kidney damage, and in extreme cases where the toxicity level is real high, it can cause death, especially, as I said, in children. There's also the ecological risk, and there's problems with water quality, phytotoxicity, and what I'm going to be focusing on for this presentation, microbial activity. The problem, although we did our research in the United States, is not unique to the United States, but is a worldwide problem with various developing and other developed countries having similar problems, where countries like China is doing extensive research, China, Australia, they're doing extensive research also on this lead problem. Other speakers before have talked about remediation strategies. We just heard a good presentation on phytoremediation. Other kind of remediation strategies you can look at for treating contaminated soils, excavation, is containment, ex-situ, that's off-site. But the one we are going to concentrate on for this research is in-situ, that's on-site remediation, and that's because in relation to these other strategies, such as like, for example, phytoremediation, a good question was asked, what do you do with all that plant material after you've conducted the remediation process? There's problem of disposal, there's expenses related to these kind of issues. So, but on-site or in-situ is a technique where you actually immobilize or make the metals inactive on-spot. And we did this for this research by using phosphorus in the form of phosphoric acid, and it forms what we refer to as pyromorphites, which are very inactive forms of the metal, where it decreases metal transport, reduces the bioavailability, and quite importantly, it's real cost effective. Now the question is, why do we choose to look at microorganisms for this part of the research? As I said, this is a part of a bigger research. My advisor is sitting in the audience right now. He looked at the chemical and physical aspects of this research. But I'm looking at the microorganisms, and the reason for this is that our processes that take place in the soil, our carbon cycle, or nitrogen cycle, organic matter breakdown, these all depend on microorganisms. In addition to that, microorganisms are good measures of soil health and soil quality, and that's based on the fact that they're really sensitive to any disturbance in the soil, and also a main important part of this, why we looked at this, is that the ability of an ecosystem to return or to withstand any form of disturbance is highly dependent on the species diversity of the microorganisms involved. So why is this all important? simply put, for the technique that we use here, they are using phosphorus as a radiation technique, for it to be accepted by the public and also by regulatory bodies such as EPA, ASTM, we have to show that the efficacy and environmental safety of this kind of technique. But in addition, when you're going to evaluate a process, you not only need to look at the physical and chemical aspects of it, but you need to look at the biological parameters to make sure you've got a complete picture of what you're dealing with. So for this part of the research, three main objectives we looked at. We examined the microbial diversity, and we did this using biological-based assessment, a program known as Biolog. We also did some genetic-based work using the nature ingredient gel electrophoresis. We looked at microbial biomass by looking at carbon and nitrogen. And we also examined the activity, microbial activity, by looking at enzymes. And the two enzymes we looked at here were acid and alkaline phosphatase. In brief, I'm not going to go through the details of the, in interest of time, of the methods that we use too much. My professors detailed that in papers that he has published, but in brief, for us to get an idea of what we're talking about here, we use randomized complete block design. We had 2x4 millimeter plots, and we had 4 replicates for each treatment. For the urban site, we use one rate of fertilizer application as 10 grams of phosphoric acid per kilogram of soil, and we also added 500 milligrams of potassium chloride, and that was to raise the pH after the remediation activity. But in addition to the rate of fertilizer applied at this site, we also did looked at 4 methods of application: rototilling, surface application, pressurized injection, and then the control. And for this research, I'll be mostly focusing on the top one here, the rototilling, which we relate to as 1% RT, and the control. For the midway site, we had 3 treatments. We used 2 different grades of fertilizer, 10 grams and 7.5 grams, along with our control. And then for the mining waste site, we used different organic amendments, and here is a list of it. And I can ask, if you're interested in knowing what composition of each of these are, I can talk to you about that after the presentation. In the lab, for laboratory procedures, we did a number of lab procedures. We did traditional plating and counting to get an idea of the population of the bacteria within each treatment. We also use what I refer to as the Biolog system, which is a means of identifying the different species based on substrate utilization. We also looked at the DNA profile using, the DGG technique. For microbial biomass, we looked at total organic carbon and also total nitrogen. And this is based on the fact that there's a linear relationship between total organic carbon and microbial biomass, which is, on average, comes out about 3 to 5% of the total organic carbon is actually microbial biomass. So we use that to get an idea of the relationship there. And then, as I said, for activity, we looked at enzyme assays. Now, to look at some of the results we got, I won't try to go into all of them, but for right briefly. But we looked at our, for the urban side, when we looked at our treatment versus our control, we saw there was a higher amount of nitrogen, higher amount of total organic carbon in the control over the treated side, but it was not significant. When we looked at it on the seasonal rate, we also saw the same trend over time. The control, that's our dotted line here, was continually higher than our treatment, but not significantly. When we look at our enzyme activity, again, we find control being a bit more than our treatment, but again, significance was irrelevant. For the biology that I talked about, this is what we, as I said, we looked at, used this to identify the different species of bacteria within each treatment. And what I want to point out here, the significance of this, is that all the different species we found were similar throughout the different treatments. The only thing that was different is that the intensity or the dominance of a species differed for the different treatments. And this, as I said, is looking at the Burkholderia gulmae. Here we saw that it's present in all the different treatments, but the dominance is different for different treatments. And here, similar thing with the Pseudomonas species here. present throughout all the treatments, but at different rates. And if we went through this entire list, it would be the same. This is also came out when we did the DNA analysis. If you look in this section here, by looking at the band position, it can easily see that the species are similar because based on the band position. But the intensity of the band, if it shows darker here, lighter here, would indicate that the dominance of the species is quite different for the different treatments. When we look at the results for the milkway site, similar to what we saw in the urban site, control having a higher carbon nitrogen content, which also indicates a higher biomass. However, in this case, the differences were significant. When we looked at our enzymatic activity, similar trend, control was higher in the control than in the treatments. In this case, it was significant. In this case, it was not. However, when we looked at the mining waste where we use the organic amendments, although the difference is significant among the different treatments, the key thing I want to point out here is that all the treatments were significantly different from the control, both on average and also at the seasonal level. Similarly, when we look at carbon, again, significant difference among the different treatments, but the main point is that the different treatments were all significantly higher than the control, both, as I said, on average, when we took the average of the entire treatment period, or when we looked at it seasonally. Our enzymatic activity showed a similar trend, all the treatments significantly higher than our control. So from this, we deduced that the phosphate treatment for the urban site, there was no real effect on population diversity or activity. In the midways, where we saw that significant difference between treatment and control, we found that there was a suppression of the biomass, and also there was a difference in the alkaline phosphatase activity. However, when we looked at the overall population and diversity, we found that there was no big difference between treatment and control. For the mining waste, we found that the organic amendment enhanced biological properties, but the key point here is that the diversity was not impacted. So from this, what we can conclude is that the soil phosphate treatments have minimal impact on microbial activity, microbial diversity, or microbial populations. And with this, I'd like to say thanks to Environmental Protection Agency for sponsoring this, my advisors at the time, Dr. Yang and Ivadi from University of Lincoln University, Drs. Kramer and Anderson from University of Missouri, Columbia, and also my friends and family who supported me during this research. Any questions, I'd like to answer this time.